is Monday's meditation. I hope that you have had a great week last week. You should have. It is reason to celebrate last week. It is the week that our Savior died in my place, and but anybody can die. He rose to new life and took care of my penalties and the things I needed to pay, and that is reason for celebrating. Amazing, just pondering that. And you know, I talk about spending time on the Sabbath with God, and man, yesterday was a great day to spend time with God, and that's what we're talking about this morning. We talked about it last week, cultivating time with God. And I wanted to review just one thing, the definition of cultivating. I think that's important because, you know, we kind of think about it in agricultural terms, to cultivate the land. But think about how much time it takes to cultivate the land. I don't think we know that. Most of us really don't understand that as much, how labor intensive and how much resources and time and energy and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears is put into cultivating land. And especially time, we do not realize, because I think so many things happen that has skewed our sense of time. We read in the Bible, you know, the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, and it spans a couple of chapters or several chapters, you know, and that's misleading. It's a long time. We look at a TV show and they see the land, and then all of a sudden they are cultivating the land, and in the next couple of scenes they're growing a crop, and you know, and then they're harvesting the crop because that's a movie. But cultivating is a long-term word. It is like the word ponder or meditate, and we've just got through discussing those. I don't know why I like these labor-intensive words, but I want depth, and God provides that depth of, man, you will never search out all of God. You know, Paul says it quite well, to know the height, the width, the length, the breadth, and the depth thereof of God. And I might have got those out of order. But just the expanse that is incomprehensible, and yet he says, search for me and seek me and know me, and I will show you things. Ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you. I mean, it's amazing, and yet we're too busy most of the time. You know, so cultivating, that definition is to improve by labor, to improve by care, or to improve by study. So cultivating, to improve by labor, care, or study. And then there was a chapter in, a section in when I did some counseling training, and the title of the section was Worry, the Acceptable Sin. That title, a lot of times titles alone have enough meaning to where you're like, okay, I don't know if I need to read the rest of it, but you should. But you know what I'm saying, the title is enough, because you know, I've said it before, Dr. Tony Evans says legitimate concern is okay. You have a legitimate concern over something. It's when that legitimate concern overtakes you, it becomes worry, it becomes anxiety, and that is sin. And worry is sin. We talked about it last week in Matthew 6. He says, don't worry about all these things. He talks, oh ye of little faith, in several times, Jesus says. Worry is sin. And you say, and that's why I'm doing this. You know, don't cultivate a relationship with sin, but you spend so much time in that worry, so much time in the what ifs. I remember my dad saying one time when he was preaching, God's not into the what ifs. You know, think things through and ponder it and put down maybe some, if this goes this way, if this goes that way, but not, and what he was saying is not into the extreme sinful nature we go into of what if this and what if that and what if this and what if this and what if this and what if this, and I didn't even think about that, and then so-and-so said something and I didn't even think about that, and it's just a consuming rotation of what ifs in your brain, because you are always going to have an innumerable amount of what ifs. I mean, the possibilities of what's going to happen in the next few seconds, of the next 5 minutes, next few seconds, there's not an innumerable baby. But in the next day or week, or the next month, it almost becomes innumerable of the what ifs that can happen. Because I'm going to be moving, the world's going to be moving, I'm going to be going different places. So the scenarios get larger and larger and larger, the what ifs get larger and larger and larger, and they can consume you. So you're cultivating time with that. You're cultivating time with worry. And God's not into the worry. He says that pretty clearly. So don't seek to improve by labor, care, or study. If you put your definition in there, don't seek to improve your worry. Don't seek to improve it by labor, care, or study. That's not what God wants. Don't cultivate a relationship with you either. The Bible talks about God has searched me and known me. He knows my sitting up, my lying down, my rising up, my thoughts, all of those things. He knows you. You know you. And if you have a propensity to worry, then the best thing to do is have a propensity or cultivate a propensity to be in God's Word where there is steady, steadfast, enduring, faithful, never-ending love and care. That's the best way to dispel worry. Not by saying, I'm not going to worry about that. Lord have mercy, you're going to worry about that. In the next second, you're going to pick it back up. We cast our cares upon you means throw. It's like a cast net. You're throwing your needs. I've got a situation. Cast your cares, your situation, things that you need His intervention on. Cast them far, far away to Him because He cares for you, because He wants to come through for you. But you don't give Him a chance to break through because you're in that incessant loop of worry. So don't cultivate a relationship with you because what's in your mind and what's going on is all the what ifs that you've trained it to do. As a occupational therapist, I work with mental in the mental health arena, and that rumination, that's kind of the word meditate. That's a word ponder is like the cow chewing the cud and he brings it back up and he chews on it again to get as much nutrients out of it as possible. Then he swallows it. Then he brings it back up and he chews on it again so he can get as much nutrients out as possible. And that's that cultivating term. That's a meditating term. That's a pondering term. We can change that. If we couldn't, he wouldn't say, don't worry. He wouldn't say, stop doing those things. Come unto me, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. He wouldn't say those things if we couldn't do it and if we couldn't change it. But he says we can change it in Romans 12, 1 and 2, to be not conformed to this world. That worries a lot because they don't have a God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed means you can change. Transformed by what? The renewing of your gallbladder or liver. Dr. Jim Bob Haggerton said one time, nope, it's by the renewing of your mind. And then you renew your mind by spending time in God's Word. And then you read those things in Matthew 6 where he says, don't cultivate a relationship with food or drink or your clothing or your body. Don't worry about those things. God knows you have need of those things. Your Father knows you have need of those things. Cultivate time, seek first the kingdom of God. Cultivate time with God. Seek to improve by labor, care, or study time with God. Now, I know you say, but I feel so unproductive when I spend time with Him because I'm just sitting there and my to-do list is growing by the minute. I barely have enough time to get done what I need to get done, and spending, let's just say, 10 minutes puts me behind. I guess I always look at those things and I think I compare what I just said, what I said, what people have said, but put it in your mind. If I say that, what am I saying about God? If I say that spending time with God for 10 minutes puts me behind, then God must not be sovereign because He can't help me out. I give Him 10 minutes and it's a negative in my, we talked about how it's an account, so many things in life are accounting, and the Bible talk about it in ways like an accounting term. If I spend 10 minutes, if I put that in my column, then it's always going to be a negative. Wow. Is that who God is, the sovereign God of the universe who controls everything and can intervene in the natural laws and supernaturally give you back not only that 10 minutes, but bless you because you are obedient and you spent time with Him, bless you, twofold, tenfold, and give you back extra time. Make you more efficient in the rest of the day. That's what He can do. He can send somebody your way to help you. He can make orchestrate events where some of those things on your to-do list miraculously just got called off and you didn't have to do them. They called me and said, I didn't have to do that today. Oh, that's what God can do. That's what He says all the time, that He multiplies what you give to Him, whether it's your money, your time, or your resources. He is the one you cultivate time with, and you'd be amazed at what grows in out of your land. Water it and fertilize it with God. And I think you're going to be thinking one thing's going to come up, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be amazed at what comes up. Because, you know, I don't think that He wants in God's economy. And when I say God's economy, it's not necessarily a mathematical term. But like I said before, if you look at it in accounting, giving Him 10 minutes, you're going to reap, twofold, threefold, tenfold, whatever that is. You're going to reap the benefits. I think that's true, but we are so conditioned because we spend our time cultivating our mind in the natural laws, where if I deviate 10 minutes in my schedule, then I'm 10 minutes behind, or I'm 30 minutes behind if I deviate 10 minutes in my schedule. That's what society tells us. That's what the devil drives us with, like a cruel taskmaster. He does not want you to rest. He does not want you to trust God. He is constantly in your ear saying, you don't have enough time. You don't have enough time. You don't have time for that. Some thing comes up and you get totally exasperated because this is another thing I have to do, because you're driven by your to-do list, which is in the natural world is a cruel taskmaster. And yes, we should have a to-do list. Let's talk about that. There's nothing wrong with a to-do list. There's nothing wrong with putting things down so you remember to do them. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your needs of your family, and that's on your to-do list. But when there's no room for the God who gives the breath in your lungs, then I think we have to reevaluate. I mean, God tells us quite often to cast your cares upon Him, to come to Him when you're weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. Why would He say He's going to give you rest if He knows what you know, that 10 minutes is going to put you behind? But He offers rest. He tells you to take one day to stop your labors and ponder on Him. Remember, Sabbath is never about just stopping your labors. It's to stop your labors and ponder on Him so you don't get stressed out when you get up. Because if I just had to stop my labors for a day, I'd be stressed when I got back up, because then I'm behind. But if you stop your labors and ponder on the goodness of God and all that He's brought you through, how faithful He's been, how He has never let you starve in the wilderness. He has never let you down. And tomorrow's not going to be any different. And, you know, the Sabbath was Saturday originally, so Sunday's not going to be different. You know what? When Monday comes up, I'm still pondering the goodness of God because I spent a whole day, I soaked in it. I spent a whole day pondering the goodness of God. I spent a whole day with my friends pondering and talking about and reminiscing and lifting each other up and encouraging each other because God has done great things for them last week. And you know what? There's no reason He's not going to do it this week, because He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That's what Sabbath is about. It's cultivating, it's ruminating, it's meditating, it's pondering on the goodness of God. Because guys, all the things that we have in this life, all the things in this life, you know, we is temporary. This is not our home. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's why He says that. Think about why He put Matthew 6 in the Bible. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about how you're going to clothe your body. Did you Do you need to ponder on that and cultivate time with that scripture? For your Father knows you have the needs of these things. Look at the grass, which is here today and gone tomorrow. At least I'm not just gone tomorrow. I'm here much longer than the grass and the lilies of the field, and He clothes them and takes care of them. The birds don't have a 401k. They don't have barns to store things in. And yet the Heavenly Father cares for them. You know, if we look in scriptures, there's lots of scriptures, a lot of scriptures about spending time with God. James 4:8, come close to God. It says, draw near to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Okay? Psalm 23:5, you prepare a table for me before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. He prepares a table. Well, we're too busy to sit and eat. We're starving spiritually in our soul because the one our soul needs is time with God. The one our soul needs is God. And we need time with God because our soul is so depleted and tired. Our spirit is, you know, it's needy for the one who can breathe life on it. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the one who comes in and does supernatural things. That's the one I want to invite to my table. That's the one I want to invite to my day. The Holy Spirit who can change things in a heartbeat. That my day looks one way, and then all of a sudden I'm praying and I invite Him in and I talk to Him and I spend time with Him, and then all of a sudden I see something and I'm like, you said something about that. That's exactly what I should do. Instead of something coming our way and we go, I don't know, I don't have a clue what to do, I don't know, I don't know, and we go through all that list in our natural mind. But when something comes our way that's appointed by God and we're supposed to be doing, we've just spent time with the Father, and the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance that time that we have with the Father that morning or whatever time you had it yesterday. I mean, it could, you know, it could be something. It doesn't always have to correlate with the morning and it happens that day. But it's so interesting how many times those things happen. Cultivating time with God. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same person brings forth much fruit. I love that language. Not just fruit. That person brings up that abides in me, that cultivates a relationship with me and lives there. Brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Now, it's funny that I don't know how many of us really believe that last part. And you know, if you really believe it, if you do it. You know, the old analogy about I can say that I believe that that chair is going to hold me up. But as long as I'm standing there, you guys never believe know if I really believe it or not because I've not done it. I can believe I tolerate hot sauce, but when you put hot sauce in front of me and I won't touch it, you're not going to believe me. But if I sit in that chair, then I believe it. So the believing is, as James says, faith without works is dead. The believing is in the doing. Dr. Tony Evans says, faith is measured by your feet, not by your lips. I think that's such a great definition. We can talk it all the time, but do we do it? So without Jesus, you can do nothing, not even your to-do list. And maybe you get things checked off your to-do list, but I think if I look back and when I do things without inviting God into my situation, without inviting the power of the Holy Spirit in my situation, I get my things done, but I get them and I'm very irritable. I snap at people because they're an interruption to my to-do list, and that's all I see. So I'm in my natural carnal self without God, without inviting the Holy Spirit, and I'm not exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Because the Holy Spirit's not been invited in. He's not been talked to, he's not been around, and I react and I get my to-do list done, but it's a sacrifice and a price to pay. And if I go back to him, I usually have to go back to them and apologize and ask for forgiveness for the way I acted. The end does not justify the means. In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still." There's your 10 minutes. You know, I say just 10 minutes, but you can give more, obviously. But I'm referencing, there's your time with him that he asked for. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still so that you can know. Because when you're busy, he doesn't have time to show up miraculously. Because you are just led by the cruel taskmaster of the to-do list. And y'all, it's never going to end. Because this earth's decaying, and because people need to be fed and your kids and all those things, it's a never-ending to-do list. But God doesn't say, if your to-do list is done, will you sit down at the table with me and eat the feast that I've prepared for you? Does he say that? Does he say, if your to-do list is done, will you be still and let's talk? No, he doesn't. He says, in the middle of it all, trust me with your to-do list. Trust me with your time. Trust me with your mind's attention, because you've got it conditioned for worry, and I don't want it there, because I am God. I am sovereign. Trust me, please. He's pleading with us, but these are also commands. It's a command that says, be still. Cast your cares upon me. Romans 8:6 says, for the mind set on the flesh is death. I mean, I love that the Bible doesn't mince with words. It doesn't say it's gonna end up kind of bad if your mind stays on the things of this world. It doesn't say that. It says it very clearly. For the mind set on the flesh is death. But the mindset of the spirit is life. Now, it could have stopped there, because there's the analogy. One is death, one is life. But I love how it adds one to it. But the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. How many of you need peace? I only know one place that I find peace. I only know one place that I find for the solace of my soul when it is tired and weary and depleted, probably from my own making, because I've not called on him and relied on him nearly as much as I need to. And that one place is the arms of my Savior, is the arms of God, just laying there and saying, Father, I'm tired. And he goes, I know, this world is not the way I intended it, and there is lots of labor to be done, but come away. As Jesus did, who did it perfectly right while he was on earth and fully man, come away, my child, and let's spend some time together. That's the invitation you get. There's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman called The Invitation. You should go and look it up and play it. There's also a song called Be Still and Know That I Am God. That album is by far one of my most favorite albums ever. And those two songs, I just sit there. And there's many times that I cannot just play them once. I play them over and over. They just steal my soul. And I just sit there and say, thank you, Father. And if you're able right now, you can close your eyes. If you're driving, just say, God, I want to clear my mind of nothing but you right now. God, I have been a disobedient, wayward child, going off on my own way, thinking I'm my own God, needing to keep my own little place and house and life in order. And I can't, because I know that, because I'm your child. And your word clearly says, I can't. I can't bear the weight of the world on my shoulders. It is way too much, and I will physically break down. We all know this. We all know this. Just tell God. Just be perfectly honest. And I just let the enemy come into my mind and tell me that I have to not stay nonstop. And if I stop, it's going to all fall apart. I just have not trusted in what you've told me. I've just not trusted in the words of the Savior when he was here on the earth. And he had, I mean, think about it, guys. He had people on him pressing to him, for healing all the time, it says. It says they were weary. They couldn't even stop to eat. They didn't couldn't stop to go to the grocery store, to the market. He had nothing but a little, two loaves and five fish. Think about that. Is that what it was? Or is it five? Yes. But think about the meager that they had to meet the demands. You say, I don't have enough time to meet the demands. They had not enough, way not enough. They were in like a massive deficit with that little bit of food they had to feed the masses. And yet Jesus took it, blessed it, presented it up to the Father, and said, I need you to work with this, God. And I think what God said, I'll take a little liberty here, because it's not a thing that what God said, but I think he said, I can do that. I could probably do that with less, but you've got that, I'll do that, because he can. And I don't know about you, but my peace, there's a war for my peace all the time. There's a war for my mind all the time. Because worry is not trusting God. Worry is not trusting God. And so there's a war all the time for me to worry. And there's sometimes it's small little things, like the toothpaste in the sink. And sometimes it's bigger things. And I have to decide if I'm going to trust him with both. I have to decide if he's trustworthy. And the only way I know he's trustworthy is to do the first step, which is to spend time in his word and with him. And the second step is to let him be God. Because if I can take care of my to-do list and everything else in my life, I don't need a God. I can read about him, and that's great. But I want to let him be God, because you know what? When he shows up in the middle of my impossible, every cell in my body rejoices. Let me say that again, because I think a little differently, I think, than most people, but I think on a cellular level for so many things. And I think when God shows up in my impossible, that every cell in my body rejoices and relaxes, because they know who's there. They know who just showed up. My cells know their maker, and my cells go, praise the Lord. And I hopefully have trained my cells well enough that they know, even without me, the master, they know that who made them. They know who they rightfully are and are accountable to. And they don't want to rejoice in the midst of that evil taskmaster of Satan. Spend time with him, even if it's just the next few minutes. Just soak. Just spend time with him being grateful and thankful and saying, Father, I give what's on my plate today to you, because you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And I read of that history in the Bible, and I have a history with you. You're faithful and you're good, and you're my Father. That's what I want you to ponder on right now as we end. Tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning. All the time in between those mornings, you can spend time with him. But set aside some time to cultivate time with God. Cultivate time with the one who wants to give you way more than the 10 minutes you give him. He wants to give you and sustain you in a way that's way better than just checking off your to-do list. That's what he wants. He asks for it all the time. I hope you have a great week, and I'll see you back here next week for Monday's meditation. Bye-bye.